before we left to go to Oklahoma, we looked at John chapter 5. And I'd like you to turn back with me to John and chapter 5. And we've been talking about what dead religion can't do for you, the living Lord will do. And in John chapter 5, we looked at the inability of the law of Moses to save you in verses 1 through 5. And then in verses 6 through 9, we looked at the ability of the living Lord Jesus Christ to save you, to sanctify you, and to work in your life. And we've been looking at John chapter 5. And I'll just go back there and quickly review. Look with me at verse 1. It said, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And remember, we said last time that the Jews had their feast days. Now, God had given them the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of first fruits, the feast of Pentecost, and all of the spring feast, and then the fall feast, like tabernacles and trumpets, and all of these feasts God had given the Jewish people, and they had a purpose. And guess what they were supposed to do? They were supposed to point to the Lord Jesus. In fact, the whole law of God, the law of Moses that God gave Moses, was to point to the living Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Jews. And they had the law of God. But here, the law was a testimony to a people, the Jewish people, that God redeemed out of Egypt. And it was a testimony to them of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a guide to those people, a redeemed people, and it pointed them to Jesus. But guess what? They altogether missed Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, you read the Word of God, you read the law of God, and you search the Scripture, for you think that by searching the Scripture that you're going to have eternal life. He said, but the Scripture point to me. And you won't come to me that you have life. And so he was standing right before them. They didn't recognize him. They rejected him. And they didn't receive him. And so we said that dead religion has an inability to save anybody. It can't change your life. It can't save you. We have a lot of dead religion. Amen. Judaism is a dead religion now because it rejected what the law was all about. It rejected the living Christ. Islam is a dead religion. It's a religion of trying to get to God by working from the ground up to get back into God's favor. You can never do that. The law cannot save you. Catholicism is a dead religion. It's a system and a series of dead works, of dead people trying to reach up and get to God. And you're never going to get to God through Roman Catholicism and that system to do that. And I love Catholics. We have many people here that have been Catholics, but they're saved now. Amen, Brother Joe? Saved out of that. And they've met the living Lord. And so the Jewish people in John 5, 1 through 5, we saw it all spoke about the law of Moses. And Jesus went to this pool of Bethesda that had five porches, which points us and reminds us of the five books of the law. And Jesus went there, and he went there, and he saw a man that was impotent. That meant he was paralyzed. He was unable to get into the water when the angel troubled the water. Anybody that could get in there would get healed, you see, but he didn't have the ability to get in there. And the whole thing points to the inability of the law of God to save people. But secondly, we saw the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is in John 5, verse 6. Notice in verse 6 it says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man, verse 7, answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Once again, the inability of the law to save somebody. But Jesus pointed this man out. Jesus reached out to this man. Jesus touched this man. And you know what? We get saved because we come to the Lord. But guess what? We come to the Lord because He first is looking out for us. We choose Him because He first chose us. And the Bible says that He foreknew a people. He didn't foreknew a people that would be strong enough and wise enough to get saved. He foreknew a people that would be impotent. He foreknew a people that had no ability. And the Bible says that God foreknew Israel and He chose Israel, not because they were greater than other nations, not because they were smarter than other nations, not because they were better than other nations. He said He did it because He loved them. He loved them because He loved them. He gave no explanation for it. You are here tonight because God foreknew you with love. He looked upon you with love. Just like the Lord Jesus looked upon this man with the inability of law to do anything for him, and He gave him His grace, and He saved him by His grace and raised him up by His grace. If you'll notice here, He said in verse number 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, did he have any ability to do that? No. When we say, turn from your dead works and trust Jesus Christ as Savior, does the person have the ability to do that? No. But when we say that and we preach the gospel, guess what? The Lord works with us. The Lord touches the heart, and He makes that heart willing to trust Jesus Christ. The Bible said no man can come to Jesus except the Father which sent Jesus draw that man. But thank God that we have a living Lord who has the power that when you give the gospel and I give the gospel, He releases that power in hearts and in lives to save people, and they get saved and they turn to the Lord. And notice what it says in verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked on this, and the same day was the Sabbath day. So the living Lord did what dead religion can't do. I had a lady that came to our church years ago, and she was Catholic Church all of her life. And she was in my Sunday school class. Our church used to meet right up here on Wayne Avenue. And she said, Pastor Bloom, one day in your church, one service in your church, it's done more for me than the Catholic Church for my whole life. Well, it wasn't because she was in my church. It was because she met the living Lord here. Jesus was walking around here. And He raised her up, and He gave her new life. And now she saw the truth, and who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm so glad dead religion has a bunch of dead people that are blind and can't see, and the blind are leading the blind. The leaders are blind, and they're leading the blind. I'm so thankful that I am in a church that has everybody. Every believer is a priest. Every believer is born again. Every believer has Jesus living in their heart. And so they understand. You understand what I'm preaching about because you personally know the Lord, and the Lord speaks to you through the Word of God. And so we're seeing here the inability of dead religion to save anybody in 1 through 5, and then 6 through 9, the ability of our living Lord Jesus Christ to save people. That's why I go out on a Thursday night. That's why I knock on doors. That's why I confront people. Because it's not just me, it's the Lord working with me. That's why I went down to Hazleton to speak to those people at the funeral of Jose Tatis Camilo, 26-year-old, shot through the head. Why? Because Jose was a saved man. He's in heaven, but he's got dead relatives and dead family who have dead religion. In fact, they had a Catholic church down there in Hazelden. The priest was so busy, he couldn't even show up. I went down there and I showed up. Good, amen and amen. And I told him not about the dead religion. I told him about the living Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're offering this world, beloved. That's what we're offering Scranton and Wilkes-Barre and Carbondale and Tunkhannock. And that's why we're going around, because we've got a Savior who's loving, who laid down His life, who rose again, who's alive. By the way, when the apostles were convinced He was alive, after He convinced them and sent the power of the Holy Spirit, they went out and turned Jerusalem upside down, or right side up, if you will. And they went out from there and they went to God that we saw that happening through us today. The acts of the Holy Spirit through you and me. I believe that today. And so we don't preach a dead religion. We preach a living Christ. We're seeing people get saved. But I want to look at the last point, because I didn't finish this up last Sunday night. And I want to give you the last point. Not only the inability of dead religion to save you, 1-5. Not only the ability of the living Lord Jesus Christ to save you and sanctify you, 6-9. But now I'd like to look at 10, verse 10 through verse 16. And that is the opposition by dead religionists when the Lord Jesus Christ saves you by His grace. And so look with me at verse 10 of chapter 5. It says, "The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." Can you imagine that? Here a guy that's been paralyzed all his life. Here a guy under their dead religion cannot get any help and any hope. And here their Messiah that the law talks about comes into that pool of Bethesda and heals that man, and he gets up and carries his bed and walks. And they say, "Hey, you're violating our religion. You're violating the laws of the Sabbath day." You know what? Jesus got so mad at this. Because you see, there is a law about the Sabbath, and you can't walk a Sabbath day's journey, because God wanted the people to take a day of rest and to think about God and think about His Word and to meditate. But He never said a man that got healed couldn't take up his bed and walk. That was their rule, not God's law. And that's what these people did. And you know what? People that are into dead religion, they do what the Pharisees and the scribes did. They strain at gnats while they swallow camels. I remember Brother Bob Majeski. He got saved and he was in a coma and had a car accident. And God brought him out of that coma, and a preacher gave him the word of God, and he trusted Jesus Christ and was born again. And what did Brother Bob do? He went to the Catholic priest to explain what had happened to him. And Brother Bob, he said, "Yes, I see it. That's wonderful." No, he didn't do that. He tried to get him back to his dead religion. And Bob had no part of it. He said, "I remember a Baptist preacher that was with me in Primerica. His name was Randy Bloom. I remember that he had the living Christ. I remember it made a difference in his marriage. It made a difference in his family. And he beelined it right here for this church. He came here, it was a Wednesday afternoon, and he talked to me. And as soon as he opened his mouth, I said, 'Bobby, you've been born again. I can see it. John chapter 3. And he took his NIV Bible or whatever, modern translation, and he showed me John chapter 3. And I took the King James. I said, 'Yeah, this is it, Bobby.' He came Wednesday night. He came Sunday morning. He came Sunday evening. It's never been the same. He's always been coming here." Why? The living Lord Jesus Christ not only raised him from the dead physically, they were writing out his death certificate. They were writing it out This was Easter time. They were writing out he was a dead man, but God raised him up. The living Lord picked him out, raised him up, saved him. And now he's living for the Lord and serving as a deacon, preaching the word of God and doing God's work. I'm telling you, that is exciting to see with the living Lord. But these hypocrites, they strain at gnats while they swallow camels. And that is exactly what we see here. And they said, oh, you're doing this on the Sabbath day. Naughty, naughty, naughty. There was no law against what they were doing. In fact, Jesus perfectly broke their interpretations of the law so that he could point people to the truth about himself. Now look at verse 11 of John chapter 5, and I'll read it. It says, he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, verse 12, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? You notice here that Jesus looks at their dead religion and he contrasts it with his dynamic, wonder-working power. In fact, this man who got healed in verse 11, he said, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. You know what? Dead religion never did anything for anybody. It's the living Lord Jesus Christ that we need to follow. And people that get saved, they follow the Lord, even though it leads them against their dead religion. It gets them out of their dead churches, and it gets them walking in the right place. And so notice the first reaction of the one who holds on to dead religious works and traditions to save him, when the true opportunity to get saved comes about. Look what their response was in verse number 13. And he says, and he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away a multitude being in that place. Now this man was healed, but he didn't have a lot of knowledge. He didn't have a lot of understanding. One thing he knows, though, once he was impotent, once he was paralyzed, and now Jesus had healed him and made him whole. He knew that, and he could testify that the Lord had done something for him and had changed his life. And so praise the Lord for that. And it says in verse 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now this man didn't know much, but he knew Jesus had changed his life. He knew Jesus had made him whole. But notice what Jesus said to him. He said, sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. You know what I found out since the Lord saved me and worked in my life? That he spanks me.
Right.
He spanks me.
Right.
And one of the ways you can know that you are a child of God is the Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth.
Right.
He will spank you. He will rebuke you. He will deal with you. Why? Because he loves you. I think of a parent, if he really loves his child, he will correct him when he's going wrong. He will tell him how to go right. And when you go to church and you hear a message that rebukes you or corrects you, that is the love of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's speaking to your heart and he's speaking to your life. I have a problem with somebody, they hear preaching from the Word of God and they get rebuked just like Jesus was warning this man and rebuking this man. And they say, I don't want to hear that. And they turn away and they harden their heart to it. That tells me what the Bible said, that if you are a professing believer and you don't get rebuked, and you don't listen to rebuke, and you don't get chastened, then are you really a child of God? You know, DNA tests have proven a lot of times that children that thought they were biological children of their father, it was somebody else that got their mother pregnant. They're finding it out with DNA testing. And you know what? It's true in professing Christianity, even in good churches, that people that can't take the rebuke of the Word of God, they can't take strong preaching like Jesus did to this man, they ought to question, and you ought to question your salvation. Because it says that if the Lord doesn't chasten you, you are not a son. It used a very strong word for illegitimate child. Can one of the men tell me what the King James Bible says? What's the word?
Bastard.
You're a bastard. That is a word for an illegitimate child. That's what God says. That's King James Bible. It's a strong word. But I don't apologize for using it. In fact, I don't apologize for using any word of God, even if it goes against accepted language or politically correct speech. No man shall not live by bread alone. A born-again man or woman lives by the Word of God. If you've got somebody in your family, they say, I can't take the preaching at Scranton Revival Baptist Church, there's something wrong with them. Because we're just preaching this book right here. We're just preaching the old time religion, the King James Bible. And Jesus didn't pull any punches. He said, watch out, don't do anything, lest something worse come upon you. I have saved you, I have healed you, I have blessed you by my grace. But grace is not an excuse to continue in sin. And there are people that claim, oh, I know the Lord, He saved me by His grace, and they're continuing in sin. Well, no, they do not know the true grace of God, for the true grace of God will teach you that you work out your salvation in fear and trembling. I don't know about you, but I feared my father. I loved him, I respected him, but I feared him, because if I did something that would hurt him and make him displeased, I knew that he would chasten me. I remember in third grade, you've heard the story. I was with my little buddies, I know you know that story, and we were doing some SAT testing at our school in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we decided, hey, you know, the teachers aren't really watching us. We're just going to have some fun. And we went out and we played, and we left the recess. We left the school grounds, third graders. And we traveled all the way, miles away, to a friend of mine's house named Dan Nickerson. His dad was in the service, and we went down into his basement when school was going on, and we got under a table there, and there was a big tablecloth, and we hid under that table, us boys, and we started eating his dad's K rations and having a good time. Well, the other kids were in school, and they were taking the test, you know. And I'd already done my test. I thought everything was fine. I waited till the day was up. I waited till everybody went home from school. I left Dan's house, said goodbye, went up to my house just a few blocks away, walked in the door, and there my dad was. What's going on, son? Oh, what's going on? I'm coming home from school. No, you weren't in school. He knew the whole story. He took me into the den room. We had a den room, and he put me over his knee. And he began to apply the Board of Education right to the seat of learning, you know. Bang. And I just remember crying and bawling, and I remember just the snot running out of my nose onto that floor. And that was in the third grade, and it took me till the 11th grade before I ever skipped school again. And then I skipped plenty in the 11th grade until I got saved that summer. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that if you have really met the living Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have a dead religion. You live on His words. You want to hear His words. You want Him to speak to you and encourage you if you're doing right, like my dad would do. He'd encourage me if I'm doing right. But if I'm doing wrong, He would not be afraid to wail my bottom And I'm just saying to you that if you're saved, that is something that shows you that He loves you, that He cares for you. And that's what Jesus said to this man. He said, behold, you're made whole. In other words, we're born again, we're saved. He said, but sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. Remember the woman that they caught in adultery? He said, neither do I condemn you. But he said, go and sin no more. Don't go back to that adultery. Don't go back to that. Jose Tatis Camilo, when he came here, he got right with God. He watched a movie and he realized it was a Christian movie. He needed to get right with God. And he came here and I preached about fornication, which is a physical relationship that only is between a married couple. And you do that outside of marriage, I said, that is sin. And by the way, if somebody's divorced, they're not married anymore, according to 1 Corinthians 7. Did you hear me? If somebody's divorced, you're not married anymore, unless you get remarried. So you have no business being in a physical relationship with somebody that you are divorced from. I don't know how I got into that. But anyway, that's in that Bible. And I'm just saying, we preach the Bible here, and God gives us standards. And he said to that woman, now he said, I don't condemn you. Your sin is forgiven you. Thank God our sin's forgiven for Jesus' sake. He said, but go and sin no more. Don't go back into that sin again. You leave that. And Jose Tatis Camilo, he heard that. And he said to his fiance, he said, I need to get married to you. And I'm not going to be with you until we get married. And he told me that. I kept that, Pastor. And she told me that. And the wedding was planned. And God took him home to heaven just before. One day before he was to get married. I don't fully understand that. But I do know this. That I had a niece that got on church discipline, got out of the will of God, and she got right with God.
Amen.
With 9/11, when that happened. She was at a prayer meeting with her parents, right with God, restored and walking with God. But that night on the way home from prayer meeting, just a few days after getting right with God, a high on drugs guy came from a rock concert and went out of his lane and hit her, and she was killed immediately. And her unborn baby, Hope, was in her womb, killed. And we had the funeral, and she was there with that unborn baby in her arms, now in her arms. And what a difficult thing it was. But I believe God took her home early. And that serves as a warning to us, doesn't it? Don't play with God. Don't play with God. Don't play with sin.
Right.
And that is the grace of God, that He chastens those of us who He loves. And He wants us to walk with Him. And dead religion knows nothing of a personal relationship where God is your Father and you are a child of God. And so listen, tonight, walk close to your God. Walk close to this Bible. Don't listen to people that may be into dead religion. Don't let the blind lead you if you're a living person. Let the blind lead the blind, but you follow the living Lord and you follow the Word of God. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's Jesus Christ. You go into the church where He wants you to be. Don't be in some dead church because some dead family member who professes to know God wants there. And by the way, if you're a man, you lead your family. If your family goes away, that's all right, you stay.
Amen.
And you do what God wants you to do. And trust God to work in their life. And we need more men that would do that.
Amen.
Today. And we need to build more godly homes and have leaders that will do the right thing. And thank God for that. I thank God for Brother Eddie Brent that he is back and he is ready to go. And thank God for that. We need men that will follow Jesus and will lead the way. And so dead religion can't do that. And I want you to notice here that Jesus said that in verse 14, but look at verse 15. It says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. See, he knew now it was the Lord. He understood a lot more. He was just healed, and he didn't really even know how to explain who healed him. Sometimes people get saved, they don't have a lot of knowledge, you know. They can't explain. That's why you need to learn how to explain the gospel. You need to go out with somebody that knows. I tell people our Thursday night and our Saturday is not our soul winning time. It's our soul winning training time. It's a time when you can go out with somebody who could teach you. And he got with Jesus and now he understood. And then he told the Pharisees. Now, they didn't come to Jesus and say, we want to get saved, Jesus. Oh, we heard what you did and how wonderful it is. We want to get saved. You know, not everybody's going to want to get saved. You know, everybody around you that you know that has dead religion is not going to be saved. There's some people that want to hold on to their dead religion. They love their dead religion more than the living Lord Jesus Christ. They don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've got to be ready to deal with that. And that's the purpose of this message tonight. The third point is the opposition of dead religion to those of you that have received the grace of the living Lord. You're going to have opposition. The Bible says when the Lord works in your life, it's like hot grease with cold water thrown into it. There's going to be a reaction. And so if you have the living Lord, there's going to be a reaction. And that's exactly what happened here. Look at verse 15. It says, verse 16, I'm sorry. It says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to what? Slay him because he'd done these things on the Sabbath. Can you believe that? They were upset because he did these things on the Sabbath day, and they were all upset with that. Now, I want to say something to you, that a person that has dead religion has no relationship and fellowship with living Lord Jesus Christ. But look what Jesus said to that kind of person. Turn back to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. And I want to look at verse 28 through verse 30 and see what the Lord says to people that are into dead religion. Matthew 11. And look what he says. Verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said to these Pharisees? He said to these Pharisees, he said, you put heavy burdens on people, and you won't lift one finger to help them with those burdens. You know what? That's what dead religion does. It's boring. It doesn't have any enjoyment in it because it's just dead works trying to please God, and it gives you no ability. Somebody has said that dead religion tells you to fly, but gives you no way to fly. But Jesus Christ, he tells you to fly, and then he gives you wings so that you can fly. He tells you to do things, and then he gives you the power to do it. He puts in your life the power. And that's what he's saying here. Notice that in Matthew 11, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's an invitation to rest in Jesus' finished work. There's nothing that you can do or I can do to earn our way into God's favor. Jesus did it all. God requires that you and I keep the law perfectly. But who can keep the law of God perfectly? I remember Jesus showed me when I was a young man The law said, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his own heart. I was 17 years old. I was living in the 60s, in an immodest time, in a wicked time. And even if I could say I've not committed adultery physically, I could not be honest and say, just let it go. I could not be honest and say I had not done that spiritually. And he was rebuking me, and he was showing me, you've broken the law of God. And because of that, you shall be punished, you shall die, you shall go to hell. I had no way to be saved. I had no way to get out of that. But the same one that showed me the law of God, when my grandmother told me that Jesus died on the cross, that the curtain in the temple was rent in two, I realized for the first time that Jesus had taken out the barrier between me and God, the sin barrier. When he died on the cross, it took it out of the way. He paid for that sin. And now I saw Jesus as the one. And I believed in the Lord Jesus, and I was born again, and I was saved, not by keeping the law, but by resting in what Jesus did. Have you done that? Have you come to that point? Listen, if you've rested in what Jesus did, you're saved. You are in the family of God. And then look at his next invitation in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, the Pharisees, they put all these rules and regulations on people. They weren't even in the Bible. They themselves were hypocrites. They didn't do what they said. Kind of reminds me of a lot of politicians today. They're just a bunch of hypocrites trying to get you. And that's the way these people were. And Jesus was rebuking them. But Jesus said, you take my yoke upon you, and I will pull it with you. I will work with you. In other words, if you submit to his work and his will, he'll foot the bill. He'll help you. If you do your own thing, you won't have his help. That's why I want to just be in his will, because he never tells me to do anything, but he doesn't pull the load with me. He helps me. He sent the Holy Spirit to help me. Going to church, religion used to be boring, and I hated it. I hated it. Now, going to church, serving God, I love it because I do it with the Lord. He helps me to do it. And that is the very thing that made these hypocrites with their dead religion hate him and oppose him. And it says they wanted to kill them because he was not following their dead religion, but he was following his Father, as we need to follow the Lord and experience his blessing as you follow him and as you walk with him. Listen, there's no burden that you have, no thing that you're going to face this week, but he won't help you with it. You can share everything with him and just submit to him and yield yourself to him, and he will help you all the way. And yes, you will be opposed by dead religion. In fact, I can remember a time in this church when we handed out tracts, and it was called Mary's Command to Catholics. And we handed that tract out, and it said basically, don't worship Mary, do what Mary said. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she said, whatever the Lord says, you do that. Don't worship Mary. And I remember a reporter from the Scranton Times interviewed me, and then he interviewed the Bishop of Scranton in the Catholic Church. And the Bishop of Scranton condemned us because he said that the only people that we're reaching in this city are poor people. And he said it's because we've just hoodwinked them. And he was teaching his dead religion. And he had all the people in the middle class, all the people with the money, and they were following his teaching. That man has since died. He's not here, but we're still here. Jesus Christ is still here. The story is not over. I don't believe that the answer for Scranton, Pennsylvania, where one of the popes said he would make it a North American Vatican Center because it had such a strong Catholic diocese. I don't believe the dead religion of praying to Mary, of confession to the priest, of all of the sacraments and all of the dead works of all, and a Catholic does this all his life and never knows, never finds rest in Jesus Christ, never finds assurance that he's saved all of his life. Thank God Jesus said, you'll find rest if you come to me, if you put your trust in me. And you'll stop your dead works now because you'll be alive and you'll work with me. And I don't believe his work is finished, Brother Joe, with Scranton. I kind of like to think Kelleher's up here. I go to that garage a lot. How many know what I'm talking about, Kelleher's? He's Irish Catholic. They're nice people. And those guys joke with me. I like the way they joke with me. They joke with me like men joke with men, you know. And they rib me and I rib them back. And we have a good time there. And they know about our church, and I tell them what's going on in our church. I've witnessed to one of the guys there, and I've witnessed to different ones in different ways there. But they take our candy. It used to be it took them a month to use our candy up. Now every week they're done with a box of candy. And helps our school. And I tell them that's helping our school. But you pray for them, because to me they represent the Catholic middle class in Scranton. And after Billy Sunday came, there were a lot of non-Catholics here. When Billy Sunday came, the Catholics moved in here. And it's like they've taken over this valley. And they hold it.
Right.
Now the answer is not to preach just against Catholicism. The answer is to tell them about the living Lord Jesus Christ. That dead works can't save you. Give them the gospel. Give them an opportunity to get saved. And like Joe Sobotnik, he came to this church, he heard my preaching, and he understood the gospel and believed and got saved and left the Catholic Church. I believe God has a lot more Catholics, Dennis in Carbondale, that are going to get saved, and in Scranton that are going to get saved. Why? Because we represent the good news of the Savior who will give them rest from the dead works of Catholicism to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when they rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, guess what? Then you go to work with the Lord. And He helps you. He helps you. He's going to help us. We got challenges with the bus ministry and the finances. I just know He's going to help us somehow. He's going to help us. We're doing His work. And we've got a living Lord. I thank God I don't have a dead religion. Dead religion was something I was never excited about. I'm excited about the living Lord Jesus Christ. And you that have met Him, you're alive. And you just go let your light shine before men that they can see the Lord working through you. They can hear the gospel through you. And you're going to see God do great and mighty things. I believe we're going to see great and mighty things. So let me just wind it up this way. People in dead religion, especially the leaders, they'll oppose you. Why? Because they're jealous. They're jealous when they see people leave the dead religion and follow Jesus. And may they see a lot more of it in this city. They'll oppose you. But remember, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Remember that the law of dead religion can't save anybody, whether it's Islam, Catholicism, or any other dead Protestantism, any other religion that's a works religion can't save people. But the ability and power is with the living Lord Jesus Christ. And so you keep on keeping on. with what we're doing. Let's bow for prayer tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about the inability of dead